Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I'm Douglas Impuga, and this evening we'll talk about the recent elections in South Africa. And with us tonight is my colleague, Abu Shakul Abod of VOA Swahili Service. Shakul, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting me once again to your wonderful show.
You're very much welcome. And joining us from Durban, South Africa, is Suleiman Mugula. Suleiman is an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas and the listeners.
How are you doing today?
No problem at all.
Thank you very much. As I just said, South Africa's fifth national and provincial elections were held on May 7th, just after the 20th anniversary of the country's first democratic elections and 6 months after Nelson Mandela's death. The African National Congress, ANC, secured more than 60% of the vote. The main opposition grew nationally and retained provincial stronghold. And a newcomer on the political scene finished third with almost 7% of the vote. Let's start in Durban. First of all, your general assessment of the elections over there and whether these results are a true reflection of the people of South Africa. Oh, we have seem to have lost Suleiman. Let me come to Abu Shakul here in studio. You covered the 1994 elections, the first elections, democratic elections in South Africa. Any comparisons?
Well, definitely. That's a different comparison to what is happening today. Probably 20 years later, people are coming back with wanting changes which were promised during 1994, the elections which brought Nelson Mandela. During that time, the majority of the people in South Africa were eager to see change. They wanted the change that they have been fighting for a long time. ANC under Mandela had promised a lot of change, and definitely, especially the black Africans in South Africa were taking power. It's a totally different issue.
Yeah.
Today is 20 years later. I think people are sitting down and looking and saying, did we get what we fought for? Did we get what was supposed to be? And 20 years later, is ANC the same ANC? What you see right now in South Africa is that the ANC, people really are still, because it's the majority, together with the ANC. But are they satisfied? And is it what they think? No, I don't think so that much, although they got more than 60%. The thing here is that there's that new generation born free. Those who were born really during and after 94, they were able to vote for the first time. I think they are going to be shaping South Africa of tomorrow out of these elections.
I see. I think we have Suleiman back on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, just give us the impression you had in Durban and following, I don't know that you had the whole of my colleague's contribution here, but you go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, we have to look at the actual elections themselves. If you are to take them comparatively, continentally and internationally, if I'm to give them, if I'm to scale them out of 10, I can say, I can give them a 9 out of 10. These were free, fair, transparent, and credible election. Compared to the continent, I think this is a wonderful job. South Africa will continue to stride ahead. Actually, the pace it has given to many African countries is so difficult to bridge. It's far off. They were locally organized, locally financed, turnout is over 70%, certified not only by the AU SADC, but most important, certified free and fair by the people of South Africa, by the opposition, by the local man on the street, by everybody. So that is why I'm giving it a 9 out of 10 as far as the election themselves is concerned.
I think without doubt it's not the ANC is not like some on the parties on the continent where they either win 99% or beat up people to coerce them, and it to being free and fair. That was no doubt.
Well, I think so. It all comes out of history by itself. I agree with what my colleagues say over there. Is that don't forget, 94 was a really free and fair elections. So South Africa has a mechanism already in place. Mm-hmm. While in other African countries, you don't have that mechanism, or that mechanism that is sabotaged by the ruling party. Mm-hmm. And what South Africa has done is that ANC has stayed loyal to the system, and the system has been working from the beginning. So when you have a system which works from the beginning, it already surpasses what we have in Africa. It's just like when you talk of Mauritius, when you talk of Botswana, when you talk of Senegal, most of the elections are free and fair because the institutions are there. So I don't think so that's even an issue to discuss about South African elections. When I saw in 94, it was already electronics. That was the first African country which had a lot of electronic stuff already online. So I think the question of credibility, South Africa is among the top in Africa.
Yes, let's address the if you look at the poll results, the main opposition grew nationally, and it has some provincial stronghold. Even Malema's economic freedom fighters secured some seats. Is this a good sign?
It depends from what perspective you are looking at it. One of the perspectives which you can look at it is the growing, the maturity of the democracy. It is no longer an issue of the liberators like the rest of the continent. South Africa has moved a step. The fact that Mandela and the Dream Team refused to own the struggle, they left the struggle to the struggle is a collective struggle for every South African. That is point number one. Point number two, Mandela and the Dream Team conscientized the people and taught the people that democracy and constitutionalism are the principal members of the structure of upon which the structure of the nation is built. Democracy and constitutionalism, or democracy, is the one which can bring you bread. Democracy is the one which can provide you jobs. Democracy is the one which can give you health services. So the people of South Africa, when they are voting, they are not voting for anything other than making their life better. So that is why it gives room to anybody who promises them that good life, no matter who he is. So long as you can promise them good job and they have a feeling that you can provide it, they'll give you the votes. That is why even new parties like EFF, they were able to get votes because the politics has, the democracy has grown. People are no longer looking at the struggle against the apartheid. Now they are looking at the struggle to develop the country, who can take South Africa to the next level. That is what they are looking at. That is why there was those growth of the what? Of the smaller parties. The growth, you if you don't look at it negatively and you look at it positively, it is a sign that democracy is maturing in South Africa.
I think other people have pointed out, for instance, the DA, that the long encumbered by its image as a white party, at least a part of minorities, got some support even among some black South Africans. And interestingly, even is this EFF of Mulema pulled off a lot of 77%, which is a good showing.
Yeah, it is definitely. I think to answer also your question is that it's a good showing that democracy, yes, on one side is growing, but at the same time also showing that people are starting to rethink ANC. But unfortunately, the DA has not been able to get enough of the black vote, but it has shown that if a party is prepared, like EFF, they can get a number of the people. So that party can be a threat. And like today, I understand, I hear that the trade union organization is going to create its own party. So there is one thing which is democracy on one side and the question of development. So people in South Africa, in reality, democracy, they have it in their hands. They don't have any bother about it. What they really want is to see, have they got good health service? Have they got good jobs? Do they have work? Do they have food? And that's what is happening. The majority of them are now questioning, we are voting for that. We are not voting for democratic parties or whatever. Who can bring that change to us? Who can give us what we need to develop? South Africa is a semi-developed country already. Mm. It's among the BRICS. Mm. So what really needs to be done is that the ANC has to sit down and look. They lost some points, not so much. They didn't lose because the majority of people are Africans and they are relating to ANC. But once that equation goes away and you look at the question of development and development of the people, then the parties will start to change. Mm. And if the DA or Malema, and I've always said in Africa, if the opposition is able to strategize and come with one solid opposition party, you are going to give a challenge to the ruling party. Mm. Without that, there's no way that the ruling party, because they have the logistics, they have the money, they have everything to run a machine to win the elections. Mm. But now in South Africa, what is looking here is that Malema has come up with something very interesting, that if we promise change and we are sure we're going to be changed because Malema is no talk person, he's action person, people will follow.
Suleiman, further to his point here, most dominant political parties on the continent have suffered this, especially those have gone through liberating their countries. This disease that will liberate the country, therefore the country owes us. Is this one affecting ANC in some way? Because people point out that for as long as the party thinks the country owes it because it liberated the country, therefore they become complacent, sort of.
ANC is very much aware of the credit it has, the history behind it, but it did not take things for granted. ANC campaigned. It made a good showing. ANC were very decent. They never used the incumbency syndrome, which is used in all over the continent. They campaigned house to house. They begged votes. But what is most important is that much as they would have wanted to use the incumbents, the democracy has grown so much in South Africa that the institutions supporting democracy, the people supporting democracy, do not even favor ANC only. For example, you find the private sector weighed in to help democracy. The private sector finances political parties, but it doesn't finance only the party in government. It finances all the major parties across the board. You find when Standard Bank gives money, it apportions it amongst the parties. So much as they are ruling party, much as they have got history behind them, but they never take things for granted. You'll be surprised that amongst the cases which were going before the Electoral Commission, it is ANC which was taking the opposition parties to court for bad advertisements, for bad politicking. ANC complained more than the opposition parties.
Mm-hmm. And it seems even some weaknesses of the ANC, like the corruption, like the shooting of those mine workers, didn't quite affect the party so much.
Oh yeah, definitely it couldn't, because as once again I said, there is no party yet. Probably EFF will grow, because in 1 year you don't expect a party to be popular, but getting 6%, ANC is still popular among the majority of South Africans. So the majority doesn't have an alternative. They don't know where to go together. So the majority have not yet agreed to join DA, nor has DA been able to go through to the majority, which is the Black Africans or the Africans themselves. So there is that problem. But if there is an alternative which will be of majority and give a challenge, then you'll have a change. And I think, as he said, that when you talk about private sector joining politics and helping, once again it comes to the same issue of development of food, housing. They are concerned. Standard Bank, which you mentioned, is helping a lot in the building industry. So it wants to make sure that the playing field is equal. And that's the only way so that democracy can grow and strive.
I see. Well, gentlemen, now let's take a short break. We shall come back and continue our discussion of the recent elections in South Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Tonight, we are discussing the recent elections in South Africa. Our panelists are my colleague, Abdul Shakur Abud of VOA Swahili Service, and our regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. And I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, here in Studio 9. Suleiman, those who say that for African National Congress Party to keep strong, it needs to shake up the top, given the leadership at the top, for it to rejuvenate itself, sort of. Do you share that view?
Definitely, there's no doubt there is a demand from the people. ANC itself is democratic enough. They are listening. Secondly, as you would have noted from the result, they had a reduction in their majority. They went down. As far as parliament is concerned, they will lose about 5 seats in Gauteng, that is the Johannesburg area, what we call Gauteng. The DA gave them a run for their money. They didn't defeat them, but they were inroads made in. So right now, the party has accepted openly that they have to check, they have to study, they have to find out what was the cause. Then after that, they'll be able to take the appropriate measures. But they have to sit down, they have to go back to the drawing board and find out, because there were some inroads. The Western Cape, the province which was led by DA, still DA took it back, much as they struggled. They took it by 59%, the Democratic Alliance. So, and then the way we have also said, the EFF of Malema also made some inroads, but by and large, they are still strong. But they have accepted with dignity and sincerity. They have to do some introspection as far as they are concerned. So we shall look at it. Yes, there is no doubt there have been levels of corruption. There is no doubt corruption has become an issue, and it was a topical issue as far as the elections are concerned. And so many top guys within ANC are implicated. So we are yet to see how they do the introspection and what they come up with.
Shakur, South Africa is a young democracy, as you say, just had 20 years old. Most African countries on average are 50 years old. What do other countries have learned from South Africa? How they have been able to nurture their democracy and be able to go to free and fair elections, which people are satisfied with, and have a fair competition?
Well, excuse me. In reality, there's a lot to learn from South Africa. But unfortunately, one thing I think in Africa, people don't like to learn from others so quickly, especially the ruling party. They still remain the same old parties and they don't want to learn. And I think it's simple because they don't want to leave power. But what can be learned in South Africa from South Africa is that when you let the people decide for themselves, you be honest in the party, openness, and transparency. I think that has to be learned from South Africa. Institution, the courts, the justice system, the electoral system itself, the way they conduct the elections, those are things which Africa has to learn. We don't have to come to London or to Washington to get an electoral machine and to learn how to do elections. South Africa is a good example. So it's there. That's the starting point. And another thing is that South Africa is the rainbow nation. It has multicultural, multi-tribal, multi-everything you want to say under the sun. So Africa can learn from that. There is a lot of that to be learned from South Africa. And I think if African countries open their eyes, which is happening, but once again, as I said, is that politics is money. And unfortunately, those who are in power, they use the money to run around and turn around things. Unless and until there is credible ways of putting money apart, which is not possible, and giving the opposition power. Number two, to make the leaders of opposition parties to get together. Once you are divided, the opposition role is divided, because South Africa, unlike many other countries, I'm not very sure about this, is that they don't have a second round of elections, so the majority wins. So unless you have that system where you have to get 50% like in many other countries, and then the last two leaders fight for it, then probably there will be changes. But if you have a divided opposition with very few amount of points or percentage, it's not going to remove a political party. And that's where one thing is going to happen. In South Africa, now they're moving forward towards what are we doing with our lives? How do we develop this country for the majority who are poor? And that's what they're looking at. And the judicial system is so strong, which African countries need to have. Without that, there's also going to be a problem.
The problem is, Suleiman, is that unlike South Africa, in most of these other countries, they don't want the strong institutions. They actually have killed them. You look at parties like RPF of Rwanda, NRM of Uganda, MPLA of Angola, Mugabe's party in Zimbabwe. They have been in power for 20, 30, 40, 30 years, and the institutions are crumbling. They are broken down. So isn't it a tall order for them to then turn back, strengthen those institutions, and have a fair, democratic, and free and fair election?
Douglas, it is even a dream to talk about election in some of these countries. Actually, they are democratic not because they are democratic. It is better to call them, there is a category of failed democratic states on the line of North Korea. They call themselves democratic when they actually are undemocratic. They hold undemocratic democratic election, which they call democratic election, but when they are undemocratic elections. In such countries where you are saying leaders have been in power for 20, 30 years, there are no countries at all. They are just failed states. There are no institutions at all. Because, for example, if you go in countries the way you are saying, Uganda, Rwanda, where the Electoral Commission is part of the ruling party. The ruling party controlled by the president. So which means the president controls the Electoral Commission. The judiciary, the members, they are part of the ruling party. And the president appoints them. So the whole thing is a mess. Apart from a few countries like Zambia, the way my colleague said, Mauritius, Ghana, who are making strides, the majority of our African countries are non-existent. In South Africa, democracy is about getting leadership. Democracy is a matter of national security. Is a matter of national development. You either have it or you don't have national security. You either have it or you don't have development. In other countries, democracy, to them, democracy is about getting leaders who will get rich, and then they accumulate money again, they rob more elections to get richer. In other African countries, those failed states, democracy is not about growing the nation. It is about growing the individual in power.
Is it then any wonder, Shakul, that South Africa is developing faster, the economy is booming, They have companies that are spreading all over the continent, like telecom companies, MTN, and others, going to those other countries that have been independent for 50 years.
No, there's no. It's not strange at all. Actually, there's some sayings in Africa is that South Africa is starting to colonize some of the countries because it's taking over. You go to any capital in Africa now, you will find South African company doing something, as you said, MTN and all that. And that is because, once again, they allowed free market and they allowed the system to flourish. And another thing is that they are smart. They're taking advantage of the openness of Africa's market without the opening, without the other countries in Africa to have the same amount of power that they have in South Africa. And another part, although you say that South Africa is spreading all over Africa, unfortunately, those are the few rich who have been able to do that. And some ANC members who in 94 had nothing are now millionaires.
Oh, yeah, some even billionaires.
Some of them very rich. So one has to look into that also. So ANC has been able to allow development economically and at the same time democratically. And at the same time, the justice system has been going on well. So, and it has also been able to take part in a lot of issues on Africa. South Africa has sent a lot of its military to trouble areas in Africa, Central Africa, Burundi, and all other places. So it is quite a strong power in Africa now. So it is an example, once again, to come to your question that what can Africa learn? It's all that. It's the economy, it's the democratic system, it's the military, and as well as the judicial system.
30 seconds, Suleiman. Are they learning?
In addition to what my colleague has said, all the institutions, the security institutions were partial. The Electoral Commission was partial. The judiciary was partial. Then, lastly, there was less international interference. The politics in South Africa is domestic, financially, domestically financed. The only observers, we had observers from the AU and SADC, but because we didn't get money from the external donors, they don't poke their nose into our affairs. So South Africans are able to take control of their destiny. The destiny of South Africa is determined by the population of South Africa, by the citizens of South Africa. Unlike other countries where people rely on external powers to determine who rules them, who stays what, who is armed, who is better with the guns. Here it is the people who decide and they are in control of the their own destiny.
Well, that sounds good, and let's hope and pray that they strengthen their democracy even further and it spreads across the continent. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thank you to my colleague Abdul Shakul Aboud. Thank you very much for being on the show once again.
Thank you for inviting me once again.
You're welcome. And thank you to Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Thanks a lot, Suleiman.
It's always a pleasure, my friend.
You're welcome. Our producer, as usual, has been Jackson Mfunganyi. Our engineer tonight was Michael Dubinsky. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that you can hear a roundtable again on, if you go to the internet, you just click on programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable and you can listen to the program once again. Once again, thanks again for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga in Washington, wishing you a very wonderful week.
Thank you.